Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be continuing in his series from Galatians, chapter 3, verses 26 to 29, with a message entitled, Clothed with Christ. Lord, bless your word, we pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 26 to verse 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor freeman, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. We continue in our study through the middle part of Paul's great first letter to the churches of Galatia. First letter, not because there is a second Galatians, but because this was Paul's first letter that he sent out. And intriguing that Paul, so early in his ministry, was dealing with a pointed confrontation, a pointed twisting of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It should be no surprise because even during Jesus' own life, there were those who wanted to twist his words. They wanted to attribute him as not having come from God the Father, but rather that he was Beelzebub and that he was the prince of the demons, that he was a liar, a deceiver, that he was one who was there to fool the people and to lead them astray. So it should come as no surprise that there would be thereafter the devil continuing to desire to twist the gospel of Jesus Christ and the message which would give life, that it would in fact bring death instead, as long as the devil could twist and confuse and bring confusion into the hearts of new believers. Paul stands up and he says, no, the gospel which I preach to you, it was the gospel of God. And to add something to it, here they were adding circumcision, to add something to it. Over the years, there have been other things that have been added. There's been the observance of days, or perhaps there has been another book that has been pushed upon believers in Christ. They say, well, you need to listen to this particular book. And Paul would stand and say, no, indeed, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are saved by the grace of God through faith, is what needs to be proclaimed plainly and clearly. Let's come back to this text and these verses at the conclusion of Galatians chapter 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I entitled this message, Clothed with Christ. Clothed with Christ. It is as though we are baptized into Christ. And Paul is using this analogy. He is using this imagery and illustration for us to understand. A number of years ago, I was interviewing for a job, and I was coming into a context, into a situation which was very foreign to me, very strange indeed. And through the process of the initial interview, which was done by phone, I was asked various questions, and repeatedly I asked the questioner about his terms of reference, about what he meant by such and such. I wanted to be perfectly clear that the context was right and true and proper before I simply rattled off an answer, because words can mean different things. I wanted to make sure that we were communicating clearly, that we were communicating accurately and that my intended meaning would in fact cross over and be grasped. Think of the political landscape of either Canada or the United States. In Canada and the United States, there are parties which are termed democratic. Now, I am a Democrat in that I believe that each citizen of a country should have a vote. In Canada, we have a Liberal Party, and I am a liberal in that I believe in the generosity of God that I have received, and that I in turn am called to be liberal in my giving and in my sharing with others. In the Canadian context, there is also a Conservative Party, and I am conservative in that I am called upon God to use wisely stewardship resources that are entrusted to me. And so somebody might ask, well, are you this or are you this or are you this? And if we simply take the words out of the political context, out of the political world, I could say, I am a conservative, liberal, Democrat. Each time we come to the scriptures, it is vitally important that we understand the context in which each passage is given to us. Otherwise, there could be a twisting. That job interview that I mentioned, I was desperately eager that I be understood within the context of the man who was listening to my responses and who would report back to a committee about what he thought of this fellow who he had spoken with. Subsequently, I heard in a very circuitous manner that the questioner had wondered at my questioning him. He had asked someone else, he said, is Jim always of this kind where he is wanting to clarify and wanting to be sure? And I said to the middle person who reported this back to me, I said, I was very eager. I sensed that there could be a misunderstanding, and I wanted each of us to make sure we were speaking the same language. This is Paul as well. At times, he would speak about men and women in Christ, and how that there is no difference between a man and a woman, and how we come to the Lord. We come because of God's grace that is extended to us, and we come upon the basis of faith. At other times in the pastoral epistles, Paul speaks about a man and a woman, and that each of us have a different responsibility within the body of Christ and within the church of God. God has given the responsibility of leadership to men. And so sometimes people come to Galatians and they say, look right here. It says that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor freeman, there is neither male nor female. And they understand that there is no longer any difference within the body of Christ. Those individuals are reading only a portion of their Bible. They need to also understand what the same apostle wrote to Timothy and to Titus and to others. Here in Galatians, the apostle Paul is dealing with how is it that any of us are saved? And the key understanding which needs to be, the key question that needs to be answered is that we are saved by God's grace. How are we saved? Men or women, young or old, Jew or Gentile, slave or those who are free, not slaves, each and every one of us, we come by the same door. There is only one door. And Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, no Jew, no Gentile, no Greek, no man, no woman, no slave, no free man, comes to the Father except through Christ. One door and only one. This is what the Apostle Paul is speaking of. He is not talking about church structure and leadership structure. He is speaking about how that we come by faith. God's grace makes it possible before the Lord. But he also says, you, and here he addresses both men and women in the same way, you are all sons of God. You are all God's children. You are all God's offspring through faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, that is. The Apostle Paul, he pins all of his hopes upon Christ and upon Christ alone. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. It is by faith that we stand before the presence of a holy God. It is our confidence in Christ Jesus. You see, to the Galatians, there had been teachers who had come and said, Paul told you only part of the story. The men among you, they need to be circumcised, and you all need to observe the Old Testament law of Moses. The Apostle Paul says, no, that is not how that we stand before the Lord. That is not how we have confidence of God's forgiveness. It is by faith. And that faith has a focus. There is a sharp focal point that God has pointed to Jesus Christ, and our faith is in him. We do not have faith in faith, nor do we have faith in ourselves or in one another, nor do we have faith in the bride of Christ. Our faith is in Jesus Christ himself, saved by grace through faith, and that is all focused upon Christ Jesus. And verse 27, the Apostle Paul says, for all of you, there is a commonality to the body of Christ. All of you who have come to know Christ have this in common. Now, the whole world has this in common, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. There is none righteous, no, not one. There was one solitary exception, and it was Jesus Christ who came and lived a sinless life. He was without any defilement whatsoever, without any sin. Never lied to his mother, never cheated on a school exam, never stole something that was not his. Jesus Christ, he was the solitary exception. But all of us have come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, and there is none righteous, no, not one, the scriptures declares. But here we have it. All of you who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, you did not come by way of the law of Moses. You came by simple childlike trust in the goodness of God that he sent his Son to die upon Calvary's cross that you might have life. And Paul says, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. It is a beautiful picture of what believers' baptism is. A person who comes to be baptized upon their confession of faith in Jesus Christ, even as the Apostle Peter said on in his great Day of Pentecost sermon, Acts chapter 2. Look it up. Peter, when the people said, "What are we going to do about this?" they were cut to the heart. And Peter replied to them, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized." Repent, he said, and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. And so, 3,000 people on that day of Pentecost were baptized, and the church grew from 120 to over 3,000 souls in that one day. Well, they were baptized. They were immersed in water, and that was a picture in the ancient world of someone who was bidding farewell to their old way, and they were entering into a new life. Those people, they were taken to a body of water, and each of them subsequently were lowered into the water. The water would come and envelop them. It would wrap around them. You might say they were clothed in water. There was no part of them that was not immersed and was not soaking wet when they emerged once again. Paul uses this illustration. You remember when you came to trust in Christ, when you believed and you repented of your sins, you asked Christ for his forgiveness, you asked God that he might make you a part of his family, you were taken and you were baptized. And being lowered into that watery grave, you might say, and then being lifted up, you had been enveloped. Well, it is the same way that just as the water enveloped you and it wrapped around you and it clothed you, so each of you have put on and you have clothed yourselves with Christ. And these are garments that are not put on one day and taken off for a while, and when the fashion strikes, such as a Sunday, well, I need to put on my Sunday clothes. I need to put on Christ in order that people might understand that, well, I'm a Christian. Here I am at church. These are robes. These are garments that when you put them on, you do not take them off in a spiritual sense. We have been clothed with Christ. He is our confidence. He is our joy. He is our hope. He is the one who has loved us and to whom all of our love is given in return. He is the one who has surrendered himself to the cross, having taken upon himself flesh and blood, having come to minister among us. And it is to him that we also surrender ourselves, that we give our very bodies as a living sacrifice, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It is to him who has loved us and surrendered himself, given himself as the atoning sacrifice. You, all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. And Paul looks across the miles to which this letter would be carried, and he says to the believers in Galatia, "There is neither Jew nor Greek." That was a huge distinction within the ancient world. Those who were Jews, the bloodline of Abraham, or who had taken upon themselves through circumcision the responsibilities of the covenant of the Old Testament, there were Jews, and then there were those who were not Jews. And in the first century world, Alexander the Great, his influence continued in such a pronounced manner. The lingua franca, the international language of discourse, it was Greek. And so our New Testament was originally written in the Greek language, that it might be conveyed most easily wherever it was taken. But Paul says, now in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. The distinction has been broken down as far as it goes to salvation. How is a Jew one to Christ? Exactly the same as a Greek. If it is different, if a Jew comes to have peace with God in a different way than a Greek, then the Apostle Paul was a fool to have preached, so as he did, to the Jews on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. His proclamation was, repent and be baptized. Paul, as he would go out to the Gentile world around the Mediterranean, the message which Peter had preached to the Jews, Paul preached that same message to the Gentiles. Peter, he didn't say, now look, you need to be better Jews. You need to really dig in and understand what Moses had to say to you, and you need to keep all of the laws. Peter understood that was futility. It was by faith in Christ Jesus that anyone is saved. So in the body of Christ, in the question of salvation, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Paul then says, there is neither slave nor freeman. Once again, in the first century world, this was an enormous distinction between two classes of people. The number of slaves in the first century world, it's hard for us to comprehend how common slavery was at this time. Does that recommend it to us? By no means at all. By no means. But Paul understood that in the first century world, most people made this distinction. But as far as how we have peace with God, how we come to know that we are saved and that heaven is our eternal home, no distinction whatsoever within the body of Christ and in the application of the gospel. Thirdly, there is neither male nor female. So it is in the body of Christ that men and women, we each come not by some type of service, but simply by faith, trusting in the kindness of God, the grace of God, and that is how we are right before Him. Paul says, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, one body, the church of the living Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul concludes with this, and if you belong to Christ, he gives an if-then statement here. He says, if you belong to Christ, which in fact these men and women did, from whatever background, whether they were old or young, whether they were slave or free, whether they were originally Jews or Greeks, the Apostle Paul says, if you belong to Christ, and Paul would say, that is exactly what you do. You do belong to Him. You are His own. He has redeemed you. You have been purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, and you do, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. And Paul here is introducing something that he will lead into in chapter 4 about how that we have an inheritance in Christ that surpasses anything that Moses could offer to us through the keeping of the law. If you belong to Christ, if you have come to trust in Christ, and Paul, he is setting aside all of those heretical teachers who had come in after him and who had spread division and confusion and preached a false gospel to these people. If you belong to Christ, and you do, then you are Abraham's descendants. And you need to understand your holy position, because Abraham, he was a man of faith. He was the friend of God. He was one who God smiled upon, because Abraham had heard the promise of God that, Abraham, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. I will watch over you. I will care for you. And Abraham, God spoke to him about a posterity, about a son, even though he was so old, and his wife, Sarah, in like manner. But Abraham, he said, all of those other things, all of the rationale and all of the people who say, it'll never happen, it can't happen. Abram, he set those things aside and he held on to the promise of God. He held on to the word of God. What Paul here is saying is that you, believer, you belong to Christ. The simplicity of the gospel is in trusting the word of God, in trusting what God has said to you. If God says that the sin question has been taken care of at the cross, then you need to believe that. You need to hold on to that. And though there be other voices, perhaps voices from inside of you, voices of doubt, which say, I'm not sure that it's all dealt with, that you say, God has spoken on the matter, and that is all that needs to be done. God has said, it is finished. God has sent his messengers out that we repent and be baptized, and that we have life in his name. To the Philippian jailer, the apostle Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe, not serve, not pay. Simply believe in the word of God, and you shall have life. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to him. You have been redeemed. You have been purchased out of the slave market of sin. And you are walking a new road, and you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that as we trust in you, we are clothed with Christ. So may this cause rejoicing in every heart, and may our confidence ever and always be in you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Hearts to Believe. From the 16 chapters of Romans, Pastor H.H. Barber preached 16 TV sermons and also prepared a book from these messages. The book is simply called Romans. Over nearly 20 years, this has been one of our most popular books. We wish to remind you of its availability, and also we now include a CD of the reading of Romans from the King James Version by Jim Barber. This resource, both the book and CD, is sent out free and postage paid simply upon your request. It is an excellent help for either personal or group study of Romans. Please write to us at Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6, or call us toll free at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg with Pastor Jim Barber. We leave you with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.